the rules are so strict that they can't get past those hurdles, and it's stopping a lot of really good people coming here. So I really think that there needs to be a huge discussion, and I think that's when it started when I went to that debate. They're starting to take an interest. They're starting to realize they need more foreigners here, but they have to change some of the policies.
That was Lindsay Jensen, the founder and editor of The International, a monthly independent publication that presents compelling stories and useful content aimed to assist internationals in their adjustment to life in Denmark. Her mission is to create a soft landing for internationals moving to Denmark, and she's back to help us all on What Are You Doing in Denmark, the podcast that helps you make Denmark make sense.
Hey, everybody. We are back with part two of our conversation with Lindsay, and my name is Annie Samples.
And my name is Derek Hartman, and we're so excited to continue the conversation. Let's get right back into things and hear more from Lindsay. Well, Lindsay, obviously you've been doing a lot of work helping internationals and folks like us find our way since 2008, and a lot of those changes that you've seen have probably kind of ebbed and flowed with the political debate and discourse around foreigners moving here to Denmark. How have you seen that change? And I know you've actually been a pretty big part of that, even recently.
Last year, I was asked to go to Folkemøde in Bornholm, where all the politicians gather, and obviously members of the public that would like to listen to some of the speeches. I was asked by someone from Danske Industry. There is a big concern from Dansk Industry. They're really pushing towards bringing more foreigners in here, educated, skilled workers. And there is a big problem in Denmark because they're running out of people to actually do the jobs. You'll see there's a big push towards IT, engineering, scientific, because we're lacking those skills. Another skill that we're lacking that I'll quickly bring up is the pedagogues. Now, pedagogues is like your nurses, your carers, your all those sort of things. And having a handicapped son, I can see how much it's gone down. They're actually cutting a lot of the budget from the handicapped and from the elderly as well. Which is really sad for me to see. 15 years ago when we came here, there was more an option, more an offer for Bjorn and his disability. But now it seems like there's more of a, I have to fight for it a lot more. And that's really disheartening. And the finance minister actually stood up in one of his statements and said that the handicapped community is actually draining the Danish society, which was shocking. It was shocking. And there was a whole campaign against him, and basically everybody was hashtagging unskyld mig, which is, I'm sorry, I'm here, basically. And it was a real outroar, and we were thinking, if that's what the politician, like the finance minister's thinking, what are the other politicians thinking? So this happened last year before I actually... Actually, after I went to Folkemøde, but I was invited to go to Folkemøde to talk about what is it like as an international moving here? Why is there this issue of getting jobs? It is so, so important. And it's the biggest, obviously, the biggest reason that anybody needs to be here. You need a job. So I got into this sort of debate. There was the Arbeits Copenhagen mayor. He was there representing. There was also somebody from Dement, who's one of the HR specialists, a very, very integrated company that is so open for foreigners. I really do highly recommend them and give them a big shout out for that. There was also the mayor of Bornholm was actually also on the debate, and there was somebody else who was also a foreigner. So there were two foreigners, myself and them. And we were asked about what do we see, the difficulties and how are we doing it. And I felt that on the political side, it was more like, well, we're doing this, this and this. And I said to them, but you were doing that 10 years ago. Have you moved on from there? And I could feel that there was this kind of pushback. Yes, we're doing everything we can. No, they're not. The only reason I feel now in the last 5 years has been the speed up of being out there with we need internationals is because they need us. And they really do need us to fill those gaps. And like I said, the health industry is taking a heck of a battering. We have people that are not able to care for people like my son. We have nurses that are not being employed. They are overworked. Doctors are not, there's not enough doctors coming into the system. I met a very amazing American doctor who came from the States, and he was so good in one of my son's periods when he was really ill. came there 6 weeks later, he was gone. He could not jump any more of the hurdles. The politicians are not helping with this fact that we can't seem to get this. The rules are so strict that they can't get past those hurdles, and it's stopping a lot of really good people coming here. So I really think that there needs to be a huge discussion, and I think that's when it started when I went to that debate. They're starting to take an interest. They're starting to realize they need more foreigners here, but they have to change some of the policies.
It's the public and the private sector, because you can have corporations and businesses say, oh, yes, we need more workers. We need more workers. But when it starts to affect you or your parents or your grandparents who are – we have an aging population in Denmark. Yes. We have a declining birth rate in Denmark. Yes. And a growing economy expanding in areas of tech and STEM and science. And we don't – there isn't a labor force to meet the demands of the public sector and to meet the business demands. Yeah. So for Denmark to continue having the economy it does and the social welfare state that everyone is so proud of, that won't happen with Danes alone. Yeah. And there are these challenges that –
You'll meet Connor later, but he's actually in that industry. He's he's like a handicap helper. So he works with people that have got challenges. He's worked for the last 4 or 5 years working within the psych wards. He's worked in and a lot of places around the country, actually, not just here on Zealand. So it's interesting to ask him, because he's seen this decline over the time. I've seen it as a parent of a handicapped child. Yeah, so it's definitely not all as fantasy and rosy in Denmark as what people perceive it to be. So there are challenges. There's challenges in every country.
Of course.
But I cannot say thank you enough to Denmark for the support they've given Bjorn.
100%. Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah. You can feel many things at one time, and many things can be true at once.
Yes.
So I would actually love to hear more about your professional life as well, and how you fit that all around being a foreigner, a mom, a mom to a kid with a disability, having your position at the international, all of the things. So about your position and how you juggle it all.
Well, my full-time job is I'm an outreach recruiter. My job is at a school down in Faxa, which is close to where I live, which I'm really happy about. I don't have to drive all the way to Copenhagen. My job is I'm working in the promotions team. So apart from my main job, which is traveling to 3 different cities in Italy, where I go and present about our programs in Bologna, Milan, and Rome.
Fine.
I do it in English. Don't worry. I'm not Italian.
That's really fun.
Don't do Italian. Yeah. And I get to meet students, especially international schools that want to take a gap year. This is a perfect program for like a gap year. And then we come back and I do a lot of one-on-one phone calls online as well about teaching them about our programs that we actually do. And we do have a more of a community-based program, then we have a climate program. And they get to do training in Denmark for 3 months. They come from all over the world. And you've got to be 18 and above. And our oldest student, I think, was in their 60s.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, so we have quite a mixture of people. And then I don't do that. I do a social media and publishing course when I'm there, teaching them about the ethics of volunteering when you're going out and taking pictures.
Oh, cool.
So it's kind of like ethical volunteering with pictures, because we all use social media. A lot of NGOs now are using social media, but we want them to use it responsibly. So that's part of my job as well, to do that. And then I work with their social media, work with their marketing. So I get to do a lot of really cool things.
It's the best industry, I must say.
Yeah, and I love working there. So it's nice. And then on my nights or my weekends, I kind of balance between doing the editorial, doing the production control, doing the design, doing uploading everything on the website. Wow. And then in between, I spend time with my family.
Yeah.
What in between time is
exactly.
that?
Yeah, I don't know what's left. I'm so curious where you find that, and very impressed.
Because I would just sleep. It sounds like that's leaving you about 2 hours a day.
Yeah,
exactly. It is. My oldest son's always saying, Mom, when are you going to give up the international? I'm like, never. Not happening.
Amazing.
I mean, please don't. But.
No, I don't. I can't. You know, every time I get a letter from somebody or I get a comment on social media, you know, we're not as active, I will say. So if anybody's looking for a volunteer position in our social media, please jump up and say.
Also a great way to make some connections and make some friends. So we'll definitely have, again, Lindsay's email and all that information in the show notes. Yeah.
Absolutely. But I seem to juggle it. I love to take Bjorn out for walks. He loves going, he loves nature. So he loves to go out for walks. We like to take him wherever we can. We'll take him to the harbor and Koo, and we'll go visit people. Like, he's coming home for his birthday and we'll have the family there. So we do things like that and try to go to concerts when we can.
Cool.
And
that's so special. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Have you guys been to Roskilde Festival?
I haven't, but Connor's actually volunteered like two or three times there.
Cool. Yeah, I was trying to get tickets. Nope.
You should volunteer.
Good idea.
Because it's free then, and you just have to do things like guard drunk people and navigate people.
Which I feel like I would do that anyway.
Exactly. Exactly.
That was me when I was a kid. I was holding my friend's hair back in the toilet, and I was the designated driver. I didn't really drink.
Fabulous.
So.
How does that fare for you in...
Oh, in Denmark's drinking culture?
Yeah.
It's been very concerning for me to see how much... alcohol is normalized here. I'm not going to judge a whole country on it, but as a mother, and when Connor turned 15 and he said, came home and he's like, "Mom, I can drink now." I'm like, "What?" I was like, "No, you can't." And he said, and Nikolai had said to me, "Listen, it's very normal here in Danish culture." He said, "What we're going to do, we're going to sit Fafa, who lives next door to us," which is Connor's grandfather. "We're going to sit Fafa and me and you and Connor down, and we're going to have like a beer."
Yeah.
So I thought, you know what? Maybe that's not such a bad thing. And then he can kind of see it's normalized. Connor's a big guy, and he drank everybody under the table.
At 15?
Yes. So his Fafa.
Like, this is fun.
His Fafa had to be kind of chauffeured home because it's kind of funny.
That's epic.
But I can honestly say, from doing that and do that sort of responsible way that the Danes kind of do it, there's not such a big drive to drink. It's not such a big, except when he went to gymnasium. He actually ended up not staying in a gymnasium. He decided he hated the drinking culture.
Interesting.
He would call me at like 4 o'clock. He goes, "Mom, I'm at this party at a gymnasium. Everybody's drinking." But I can see now it's starting to become a concern in the gymnasiums about how much people are drinking.
Well, maybe we can bring Connor and have a little talk and maybe hear firsthand about his drinking far under the table.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Connor, hi. Thank you so much for joining us. As I was just saying, your lovely mother here was spilling all the tea regarding your youth here. So you moved here when you were 10 years old?
Yes.
Yes. And how did you find that initially coming from South Africa? Do you have a lot of memories of South Africa?
I have a fair amount of memories from South Africa, but I must admit that when it comes to moving to Denmark, the biggest shock was two things. First of all, and I thought it was fantastic, the fact that I didn't have to wear a school uniform.
Ah, yeah.
Because that's compulsory in South Africa. You have to wear it.
Even at public schools?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was a
private.
And coming here, and you can have the freedom to wear your own clothes and what you want.
Wow.
And Denmark is fairly open to what sort of clothes you wear as well. I don't find that there's a lot of stigmas around people. I have some friends from the States, and they tell me that if they wear really skinny jeans, for example, then it's kind of seen as like, why are you doing this?
Totally. Type of thing. You can be very scrutinized there, especially depending on the state that you're from. Yeah, yeah.
But I found that here in Denmark, there is hardly any of that. Unless you're, walking around naked, you're going to get some.
Yeah, even that's sometimes fine,
If you're at Roskilde, then it's fine.
Exactly. Perfect. Yes. Yeah, it's true.
But yeah, I mean, that was the first thing. And then the second thing that I found was weird was how in South Africa, you have to be very respectful of your teachers. The first thing that happens when a teacher walks into the room, you stand up, say, "Good morning, Mrs. Hornsey," or, you greet them by their last name. You never talk to them as their first name. It's seen as highly disrespectful. And here in Denmark, I think after 2 months, there was an episode in my class where one of the kids got angry with the teacher, and he started swearing at the teacher, "Fuck you," and raising his middle finger up at the teacher, and I was just like,
"He's gonna go to jail.
You can't do this. this is not allowed."
And the teacher's just like, "Let's talk about it."
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, let's go over to the principal and then we'll talk, the three of us, and see what your problems are.
No expulsion, no suspension.
Nothing.
It's very interesting. Yes, I have seen a lot of that firsthand myself as a mom. And so the language learning aspect, how was that for you?
Language learning was pretty quick to me, actually.
That's incredible.
I learned basic Danish in about 6 months.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm one of the lucky people that when I also still today, whenever I hear different accents, my accent starts to change.
If
I'm around it a lot. So I kind of have an ear for accents and how people speak different languages. Mm. So I think for me that translated really quickly into learning Danish as well.
It sounds like you and my son have a lot of similarities, and that's very fascinating. My youngest son, he started, being comfortable speaking Danish around 3 months. Or not my youngest, this is my oldest son. Started feeling comfortable speaking Danish after 3 months. And then, by 6 months, good to go. And now people can't even detect that he's not from here. And I'm so jealous. I'm so jealous. Yeah. And then, so he's patient with you when you speak Danish?
I speak Danish at a pretty high level, but sometimes he'll look at me like, what
did you mean this
word?
Or this?
Yeah. And he thinks I sound Swedish when I speak Danish, which I'm cool. I love Swedes.
Yeah. Cool. That's cool. But I think, that's a skill. Yeah.
I think the reason why I do it is because your Danish is at a certain level, and if I don't pick up on certain things, and I think Dad does it the same way, if we don't correct you just a little bit, then your Danish is going to become stagnant.
So much
as it sometimes can sound funny, and then we make a little bit of a joke about it.
A lot of times
it's also actually just helping you, this is how you should say it.
That's so great. So you learned the language quite quickly, and then not long after that, you had the green flag to start drinking.
Did I start drinking? That was...
Well, we talked about when you and Fafa and Dad.
Yeah.
Actually, my first time drinking where I was sort of allowed to go out, my mom says to me, I know you're going to this confirmation. All my friends are having confirmations at this point. And my mom says, you can go out and drink responsibly. Me thinking, okay.
Because we all have so much self-control at, 13, 14?
Exactly. But I actually, I think I'm a fairly responsible type of person. So I could feel myself getting tipsy. And then all of a sudden I felt, okay, I'm getting drunk at this point. I have to stop myself. So I stopped myself. But
incredible.
Still, I was coming home with a slur.
Yeah. And how was that for you as a mom? I'm assuming raised in a culture that wasn't quite as accepted.
Yeah, and Nick and I aren't really big drinkers.
Yeah.
So that was kind of weird, but we're very open parents. And we're kind of like, at least he came home and he kind of knew when to stop. And I think,
Yeah, I think that's honestly the safest and healthiest way, right?
Yeah.
Like if you were... shaming him and keeping him shut out, then maybe that would lead to some more dangerous circumstances.
But I think that incident also sparked that you said that maybe Dad and my Fafa, which is my grandfather, he lives right next door to us.
Still does.
Cute. And you said it would be a good idea if the three of us sat down and drank together.
Mm-hmm.
So we put 3 bottles of Captain Morgan on the table and a bunch of Coke.
Don't say that. I got alcohol poisoning from Captain Morgan.
Oh, wow.
I was 15. Yep. Okay. Go ahead. Yes.
And my Fafa, at some point, I think we had finished a bottle, and my Fafa looks at us and goes, this is not happening. I have to go ahead.
He went
to bed. And then me and my dad are sitting there, and we finish about... I think there's about half a bottle of Captain Morgan left.
Oh,
me and my dad are looking at each other, and my dad looks at me and goes, I think it's time for me to retire. So I was the only one sitting at the table actually feeling fine.
You're good to go. You go on with the rest of your day. You fire up some Fortnite. Just kidding.
Yeah.
That's epic. But you in your teenage years just went on to enjoy more responsibly, or...
Yeah, I would say so. I've kind of become the father figure in my group of friends where I don't really drink. I'll have maybe 1 or 2 drinks throughout a night. But that's it.
Your mom was saying that you volunteer with the Roskilde Festival.
Yes,
kind of
I
regular.
Did for a couple of years.
You enjoyed it?
Yes, I did. Big time.
I have not been yet. And in the U.S., I was very much a music festival girly. And, now I'm like this, 37-year-old mom of 4. And I'm like, but I had a friend go. She's, a mom of some 20-some-odd-year-olds. And she went and had a great time. And I'm like, I should go.
Yeah.
And I really want to go. As I mentioned before, I really want to go to Copenhagen. One of my favorite bands when I was a kid was Limp Bizkit. And they're playing this year.
Nice.
And I just am so curious to see how that will all go down with them being the ages that they are now. that respect.
Oh yeah, they're gonna love all the festivals.
Yeah. I'm excited. So, Distortion. Have you been to Copenhagen yet? Yeah,
I've been to Copenhagen. Copenhagen, I actually haven't been to, though I'm a huge rock fan.
Yeah, we gotta go.
Just haven't had the time.
Well, I was looking online. The tickets A are so expensive. Yeah. B sell out so quickly. Yeah. So
they sell out within the first week, I think.
Oh my goodness! But I've heard it's an excellent crowd, an excellent vibe.
Yeah.
I think it's better. I think the lineup's better than Roskilde, in my opinion.
Yeah, okay.
Roskilde 15 years ago when I was here was pretty good. Yeah. I mean, we had Prince.
Oh,
Prince came.
Oh my god!
And I left before because I just couldn't handle the Roskilde vibe.
Wow, what was it like?
People peeing. Just peeing in the middle of the road. I was like, no,
enough
too old
with
for
the
this.
Peeing. Yes.
I have too many stories about Roskilde Festival.
That's a whole other podcast. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But what else should we cover as, like, you know, good mom integration questions?
I think also the acceptance. I think, Connor, you went through a kind of a stage when you used to bring your friends home. You didn't always bring your friends home because I was kind of weird because I was a foreign mom.
Well, it wasn't so much of that beforehand my friends said that, oh, I'm not going to yours because your mom's, you know, a foreigner or anything like that. It was majority of the time they came to the house, and because my Danish was fairly advanced compared to what you would expect from someone who's only lived here for 2 years, they didn't think that my mom only spoke English. So when they come through the door, they're like, hi.
Yeah.
And my mom goes, hello.
Yeah.
Your mom's speaking English. What's going on?
What's happening?
It's out in the country. So I think there's a very different sort of vibe out there compared to being in a city.
Yeah.
Also, I found that the manners were lacking with a lot of Connor's friends.
Yeah.
And Connor's would he would warn his friends before he came. Introduce yourself, say, because, you know.
Honestly, though, I found that to be quite different. Like, when I was a kid and kids that I'm used to in the U.S., like, they typically say hello to you and respond to you. Whereas, like, a lot of kids here seem to be socialized differently, where, like, I'll be like, hey, and they'll just run right past me or, you know. I have noticed it is different. Like, I transferred my kids to, it's partially an international school, partially a Danish school. They're in the Danish track. But I notice when I go to the school, the kids are more like, hello, you know, what's up? How's it going? I'm like, whoa, this feels so different. So you witnessed a lot of that.
I witnessed, especially out in the country. And Connor would say to us, well,
yeah, you got to introduce yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, please go in and say hi to my mom. You know, don't just walk in there and not say anything. And when you go, say goodbye.
Yeah.
To me, it's normal behavior, but
it's super simple things. Like my friend Martin, his mother Marion is Irish, and his father is what is
Norwegian.
Canada, mix of Norwegian and Scottish and everything. And the first time I actually went over to his place, I brought like a towel with me and some change of clothes and stuff like that because I was sleeping over there for the night.
You got your own towel.
Exactly.
Cute.
Yeah, his mom was like shocked.
Martin's mom was like, what are you doing?
I
can't believe this. And then, what's it called? Marion just said to my mom, said, oh, wow, I can't believe that he actually brought, it's the first kid that's actually brought change of clothes with him.
Wow.
Brought up right. That's what I think.
Yeah. Right, different, whatever it is. Yeah. But yeah, Connor, thank you so much for coming on.
No problem.
I think we should probably have an entire episode discussing all of what it's like to be a kid moving to Denmark and acclimating. But yeah, so great for you to share your experience.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Well, Lindsay, thank you so much for your time today and sharing your expertise, your experience, your knowledge, and most of all, just letting us all know that we're not alone.
Yeah, that was so valuable. We're so thankful for you and just mad respect, honestly. Yeah.
Oh, no, thanks, guys. It's been an absolute pleasure, and just keep going with your podcast. I think the more that we all kind of band together as a community, I think the further we'll go, and I think internationals will eventually get their voices heard.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I really do believe that.
Yeah. And hopefully we're all playing a small part in that.
Yeah.
And you can also connect with us all on social media and find the International online. Again, those links are all in the description in the show notes. Thanks for listening, everybody. Hi. Bye. Hi. Bye. We'll be right back.